the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Thrilled to have you.
How are you all?
Welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Is it ladies' night?
Ladies' night. And the feeling's right.
Excellent. Very good. Well, we are absolutely consumed with joy. Have you ever felt that before? This rush of just intense happiness and good vibes and good feelings, and there's no issues whatsoever, and you're focused on what you want. Have you ever had this intense feeling of joy?
Yes.
Excellent. And how often do you have these feelings? Every day?
Not enough.
Every once in a while?
Yes.
Well, we're here to tell you that you can tap into this power or this feeling of joy easily and often if it's something of a priority. If you make it a point in your life to feel ecstatic joy, you can tap into this feeling anytime you want. In fact, this is your natural state of being. This is how you meant to be. This is how you were most of the time when you were 2 years old. You were in this ecstatic state of joy. And then you learned that shit happens. And then you started focusing on the shit or trying to prevent the shit or trying to get yourself out of this shit or not worrying about what the people are thinking. And then you started worrying about what the people were thinking. And then you started changing who you were so that you could get love. And then you started asking other people to change so that you could feel good around them. And then it sort of dwindled away. And when you feel joy, it's a weird feeling, isn't it? But this is your basic state of being. Without the influences of your society, without the worry about the future or the regret about the past, you would be in this state of joy just as all the cells of your body are, all the animals on the planet are, all the plants and trees are. Everything in this planet, in this world, is made of joy, except for the humans.
When I feel ecstatic like that, how come I always get exhausted after a while? Am I forcing it or?
Are you forcing it? Do you have to force joy or do you allow joy? Is joy something that you have to concentrate on and focus on and spring in and try and get into you and try and have, or can you just feel joy for joy's sake?
Well, sometimes I have to force it.
Well, we would say that's excellent. And maybe that's why it's tiring. But at least you're feeling joy. But if you can relax and ease into the joy, just be joyful because you are now controlling the thoughts that you think and focusing on the positive aspects of whatever you want to focus on and just realizing that it's a beautiful day and it's a beautiful world and there's nature and friends and family and fun things to do and fun things to get interested in and freedom to do whatever you want to do and abundance and air to breathe and water to drink and everything you need is at your fingertips and enjoy conversations with like-minded people and be on the leading edge of thought and all these unbelievable things that you get to do here in physical reality, that is reason for joy right there. And if you can get good at focusing on that and doing it in the moment, then with practice, it'll come easier and you will get less tired. But is joy worth it?
Yes.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Why?
It feels so good.
Why does it feel good?
Good. I think
because you're choosing a perspective that is perfectly aligned with everything you want, who you really are, and the exact same perspective that your inner self has of whatever you're looking at. So you can feel joy at a funeral. You can feel joy when someone's being annoying or loud. You can feel joy when things don't seem to be going your way because you know what? They are going your way anyway. So if you could relax and feel joy more often, then you would create a reality that is based on that. So we say, spend a little effort, well, spend a little attention, spend a little consciousness creating joy, creating that feeling of joy. Just get to that feeling of joy somehow. We are in this feeling of joy right now. We exist in joy and love and acceptance. Do you know that love and acceptance are the same thing, and love and acceptance allow you to feel joy? Do you know why love and acceptance allow you to feel joy? Because when you are loving and accepting, you're focusing on the positive aspects of whatever you're looking at, and you will naturally feel good. Now, we may be hyping up this joy thing a little bit, but when you enjoy something, when you enjoy a cup of coffee or a meal or a TV show or a book, that's joy too. Anything you're interested in is joy. If you're focused on something and you're not thinking of anything else, well, that's joy. Isn't that interesting? It's not this ecstatic feeling all the time. Sometimes it's just bliss, just comfortable, just focus of something.
So feeling peaceful can also be joy.
Feeling content is
joy.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Feeling appreciation is joy. Feeling gratitude is joy. Feeling interested is joy. So there's a lot of levels to joy. But we say make joy a priority. It sort of sounds a little rainbows and unicorns.
I like it.
But it has purpose. Because feeling joy is creating a state of allowing. And from this state, everything just rolls. There's no resistance in joy, is there? And if you can get to an environment of no resistance, then everything you want will naturally come to you. There's nothing you have to do other than that. And then you get to a manifestation event, and now you notice it because you've been feeling good in joy, and then something comes along to interrupt that feeling, and now you get to say, whoop, I temporarily put my focus of attention, my perspective on the subject in a way that is not empowering. I get to change that perspective. I get to think about it. Why am I thinking this way? There's a fear. Let's deal with that fear. Let's figure this out. Let's go forward. Let's not feel the fear anymore. Let's realize the fear is irrational. And that's why joy is important. Because if you go through your life feeling humdrum, bored, discontented, worrying about what the future holds, worrying about the past or regretting the past or resenting someone who did something to you in the past, if that is your state of being, then that's like this buzzing, negative, lower vibration. And from that vibration, you create your reality based on that. And then all you're doing is being in a state of resistance to everything, right? Because if you're regretting the past or resenting someone who did something to you or worrying about the future, you just have this cloud of resistance around you. And from that state, nothing really can get through. Feel stuck in that state. Even though you are expanding through every experience and you are moving, it just feels like nothing's flowing. And that's the state of existence for most people. So we say, approach life from a completely different angle. Approach life from the angle that everything's fine, everything's right, everything's good, everything's working for me. I am going to focus on feeling good because this is a feeling reality. I am going to do whatever it takes to feel good. And I am going to notice when I don't feel good. Is that interesting? Approaching life from that direction works with the laws of the universe, brings you everything you need. That is how the system was designed. That's how it's set up. That's how the birds do it. That's how the animals do it. That's how all the creatures of the earth flow with life. And it's only the humans who think that they have to struggle or make things happen or change the conditions so they can feel good. Allow yourself to feel good. Recognize that everything is good. And then create from that stance. Excellent. Who wants to talk about something? There's nothing to talk about after that.
Yeah, summed it up.
Everything's going to be silly. Right.
I have a question for you.
Yes, Woody.
I have thought I've been feeling pretty good, and I've had a few manifestation events pop up, and I've handled them well and kind of deflected them. You know, I've been proud of myself. Yet I have this persistent ache in my lower back, which I'm assuming is some type of resistance, and I can't figure out what it is I'm resisting.
Is it ache that causes you to refrain from any activity?
I've been pushing through it and doing activities anyways.
And is the pain asking you to slow down?
I don't think so, no. I'm not going that fast.
And is the pain telling you that there are others in your life who are causing you pain?
Not that I can think of.
Is the pain telling you that there's conditions in your life that are causing you a problem?
Well, you know, I think there's always some conditions, but I thought I was dealing with those and just, you know, working through it and analyzing things as they come up and hearing answers in my head and, you know, and just work with that.
Excellent. And how long has this pain been around for?
About a week.
And have you gotten a massage?
Friday.
Last Friday?
Week ago last Friday, and I get another one this Friday.
Okay, good. Okay.
Every other week.
Yeah, and we think that your persistent approach to making things easy, to letting things go, to finding the fear in anything and pushing through it is going to work, and this will work its way out as well. There's nothing serious going on here. It's just a little bump in your vibration that'll hopefully, with the caring hands of a trained professional, work its way out.
Okay.
Because we see that you are embracing this new philosophy and that your life is getting a whole lot brighter and a whole lot easier, and things are starting to move for you.
Yes. Very much
exciting.
So.
Very exciting.
It's interesting because we have a little thing going on with all our neighbors right now. One of our neighbors is converting their home to a residential elderly care, and the whole neighborhood is up in arms about this, and text messages and emails are flying all over. And of course, I'm in the middle of it. And yesterday, I was reading these texts. I'm thinking about it. The guy that lives there called me to tell me what he's thinking, and I've all these bombarding. And all of a sudden, I just came up with this overwhelming sense of how much I love everybody. And I just started pouring love out to everyone. And it just was such a freeing and amazing way to look at conflict. And that's the first time I've been able to really do that. That was exciting.
Because what is the conflict over? It's people having fear of something. Mm-hmm. And that in order to solve their fear, they're trying to go outside to change the conditions, rather than to go inside and be who they truly are, which are fearless, limitless beings of pure positive love and acceptance. And wouldn't it be nice to have a group of elderly people move into the neighborhood that you could express your love to?
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, you dissipate the fear, and then all of a sudden there is no conflict.
Right.
And as long as you don't argue against the people who want to bring in the old people, then you have no conflict. If you can see that their protests are caused by their own fear, and that the only way you could get upset is if you had fear of your own,
right?
Well, as long as you don't have fear, then you can't feel upset because you are maintaining the same exact perspective as your inner self. And as long as you can do that, then you will have no negative emotion, you'll have no fears coming up, and you'll move smoothly towards that which you want. It is an excellent system. And imagine that now that you know how the system works, that you can actively participate in reducing the fear for yourself while simultaneously allowing everyone else to have all the fear that they want and to do all the things that you see that will not work for them.
Right.
But you allow them to do it anyway because it does not bring up fear for you.
No.
It does not bother you. And as long as it doesn't bother you, then they can do whatever they like to do. The reason you want to help people is because when you look at them, you feel fear for them or negative emotion or some sort of perspective that's different than your inner self sees it. And so you want to help them so that you can feel better, not them. Right? So as long as there's no fear, and when you try and help them from that place, obviously you're from a low emotional state of being, seeing a problem for them, seeing that they're in fear, and you want to help them get out of their fear, you do so from a low emotional point of being, and you attract thoughts that resonate with that low vibrational state, and those thoughts are intended to make you feel better, not them, and they are not aligned with what you want anyway. So, bring on the love. Pour on the love.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. My first inclination was, how is this happening for me? And that was, you're
how
right.
How is it happening there's, for you?
Well, there's a great opportunity to express love.
Exactly right. There's a great opportunity to express love. Not just to...
Right, dropping right in my neighborhood.
Not just to your neighbors or the person trying to create this facility or the future inhabitants, but the whole idea of it.
Yeah.
And to practice it. And if you can practice doing this and then realize how much better you feel and that the only thing that matters is how you feel anyway, that nothing else matters at all, then you can do this with everything that comes along.
Yeah.
And
I have one more good thing to share. Remember my tree got blown down? Well, it was going to be like $2,500 to take these trees out and trim them and get it, you know, all taken care of. And I was like, oh man, $2,500, that's a lot of money. Well, my husband was in Las Vegas and he won twice as much money.
Oh, wow. How easy is it?
Oh my gosh, right?
It was never just like, have to worry.
It was like, finally, I'm getting manifestation of abundance.
And your husband gets to be the one who brings it in.
Yes, he was so proud of himself.
Excellent. Good. Who else has something they'd like to share or ask or talk about?
I'd like to jump in and talk about the health issues I've been coming up with. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Haven't Hi. Seen you in a while.
I know.
Nice to be here.
Glad you're back.
Thank you. As Joshua, you know, I've just been, you know, since Christmas, I've been encountering health issues too, and I'm not sure what's going on, if I'm just run down, and I'm getting super, well, I'm a bit frustrated, because usually I'm really healthy all the time, and this is the second time I've been sick in 3 months. I've got this persistent cough, it's just going on and on and on, and now it seems to be turning into flu, that's been going on for 10 days, and then I've got this screwed up knee, and I'm frustrated, and...
It sounds to us like there might be a little resistance going on.
Yeah, think.
When you have a cough, doesn't it make it hard to talk on the phone?
Oh, yeah. My voice, I practically lost it for a few days, yeah.
And what's the one thing you do not like to do?
Talk on the phone.
How convenient is this? And why do you not want to talk on the phone to clients? Because you feel you have nothing to say.
We can't hear you, Kate.
Sorry, yes. See? There we go. Prime example. Yes, agreed.
Prime example. Do have something to say. It's just your own perspective that causes you to think that.
I know you've been saying that to me for a while, but I don't seem to be shifting that perspective much.
Let's take a look at Gary. Gary comes to this conversation with literally nothing to say. He's somewhat anxious about it because he sits in front of you hoping something will come out but not knowing it. So what he does is he gets himself into alignment. He meditates before and then right before he brings us in, he thinks about how fun it will be to talk, how it always works out, how something always comes up, that we're never apart from him at all. He says, before coming on, he hopes that we are with him. And we say, it's like taking a walk and hoping your toenail is on your toe. We are always with you. We are never apart. And we were always there. The same is true of all of you. When you get on the phone to talk to anyone, you can take a moment to set your intentions and pre-pave whatever it is that you want to talk about by bringing in this high energy. By bringing in joy, by just sitting for a moment, gathering your thoughts, focusing on what it is you want to do, and engaging the power of the universe. And from there, you don't have to think of anything because you can't think of anything anyway. All you can do is attract thoughts. And you attract thoughts from either a high emotional state of being or anything over contentment or above, or a low emotional state of being, which is anything like boredom or anxiety, or fear, and below, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are getting on the phone and you are in a state of fear, you cut yourself off from access to these higher level thoughts and ideas because you have this perspective that you don't know what you're going to say. If you come at it like, I am going to spend the next half an hour getting myself in a high vibrational state, and then picking someone to call and just calling them and see what happens. Just talking about whatever without knowing what I'm going to say, and then seeing what happens without a fear of what they might think of me. Because we have been in a relationship for a while. They know that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I feel good about working with them. And that's how you have to do it. If you don't do that, you're going to come at it from a low emotional state of being, and you're just going to disconnect yourself from thoughts. Now, it is tricky to say, I have to think of something to say, and I'm unsure of my ability to grasp thoughts and ideas that will be of interest. So on one hand, I worry about what I have to say. And on the other hand, I worry about what they think of me.
Yep. Right.
Now, compare that to someone who is very successful at your firm, the top producer. And compare their approach is, these people are desperate to hear from me, and I always have something wonderful to say. And so when they go into a phone call, they're automatically going from a higher vibrational state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And they're automatically accessing thoughts. And then at the end of the phone call, they go, my God, I was brilliant there. How did that just happen? I don't even know where those thoughts came from. That was incredible. Another example of my brilliance. And they chalk it up to their own brilliance, right? Fine thing to do. Self-confidence, a wonderful thing indeed. But what's really happening is they're simply engaging universal forces, the forces that created planets and worlds and galaxies to make a simple phone call. And when they do that, they get access to high vibrational ideas. They have access to the ideas that the client was thinking about anyway. Mm. And magically, the client will say, you know what? I was just reading something about that, or I was just thinking about that, or I was just ready for this. There's more going on there than you can imagine, but it can only be done from a high emotional state of being. So that's why your only job is to maintain that high level and to dissipate or push through the fears and not worry about them.
Mm.
Max it out. And then your body
come back to
force you to find a way to get out of that office. Right? The sickness is a legitimate way to get out of the office so you don't have to make the phone calls.
Yeah.
It's all about the phone calls.
Yeah.
That's all it's about.
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, another point here is that if you can get yourself into this high emotional state of being where you're excited about calling people, then you will funnily or humorously or somehow miraculously stumble across things that are pretty interesting. And you will be interested in following up on this business or this industry or this technical analysis or this whatever it is. You will stumble along it. The reason that you don't stumble along these things now, even though they're wrapped in as gifts, is because you don't want to make a phone call based on whatever you read because you're insecure about what you're reading. Mm-hmm. But there is no difference at all between you and the top producer, except for the emotional state of being that you get yourself into before making a phone call. Okay. And so were you ever as a kid, was anyone as a kid had a test or something they didn't want to take, they weren't prepared for, had some day at school, and miraculously they woke up sick that day and couldn't go to school? So you will say that little illnesses like these are resistance, but they are also there for a purpose.
Mm.
Everything that comes to you is there for a reason. It's always for you. Mm. You have asked for this. You see how you've asked for it?
Yes.
You've asked for a way out of a legitimate way out of the office.
Yeah. It's what I find interesting is that it's happened twice within 3 months, and it has hardly happened at all within the last 8 years.
We will say that there were probably other things that happened that you didn't notice in the last 8 years.
Yeah. You know?
And this now is a convenient one. Because other people are sick, that it isn't far-fetched to believe that you could be sick as well, that it's going around.
Yeah. Well, it is. I'm spreading it. I'm spreading the love.
You can't spread it. You can only receive it.
I know. But they don't know that.
Yeah. And then you can say, I don't want to spread it, which goes against every law of the universe. They can say is, I do or do not want to receive it.
I've told them it's not contagious. What do I know? So.
What? Not.
So practice feeling good, even though you feel bad. And remember that there's nothing serious going on, that you have everything you need within you to do it, that if you did practice and manage to get into a high vibrational state of being, maybe by meditating first or by reading something funny online or just whatever you can do just to get jazzed up and in the zone and fired up and ready to go and in the high state of being that you feel good, then you will be successful on the first call.
Mm.
And that will build confidence. And then you don't just willy-nilly pick up the phone call when you're in a negative state of being. Only call when you're in a positive state of being. And the rest of the time, all you're doing is working on getting into a positive state of being. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
We would like the management job at your firm. Because that's what we would tell people to do. Have fun, have fun, have fun. Now make a phone call. Have fun, have fun, have fun. Now make a phone call. So anything else, we're all going to have fun. Let's all play a game, and then we'll make one phone call, and then we'll play another game. We'll be the most successful firm of that type in the world.
Yeah.
And we would have. But their approach is different, isn't it?
Oh, very. It's fear, shout, don't forget this. Why haven't you done that? I mean, there are days when it's a lot calmer and it's really okay, but all of a sudden, unpredictably, it'll be, rah, 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 rah. It's like, okay. Whew.
So, Joshua, I'm asking this about Kate because I have similar feelings. Are Kate's feelings truly just resistance to little fears, or is it something, is she maybe in the wrong place, or...
Kate is in the right place because it is a perfect vibrational match to her.
Oh.
That's why it's in her reality. Okay. Now, she can look at the negative aspects of her job and say, this is the reason that I'm upset, or that I don't feel good. And to solve this problem, I think I should change my career and find my passion. Find the thing that always makes me happy. Well, if you are one who is not good at dealing with little fears, then whatever you do, those little fears will pop up.
Mm.
And you still can't deal with them, right?
Mm.
Even if it's a different environment. So we say, get good at pushing through the little fears. Get good at creating this environment of joy and high vibrational and good feelings. And then do your business from that point. But what has happened is that for years and years and years and years and years, she droned through the negative emotion and pushed past the fears, but in a low emotional state of being, and had limited success because she didn't have access to high vibrational thoughts and ideas. And so it made it seem, the illusion was created, that this is hard and fearful, right? Had she been trained in the very beginning that this is a fun job, that everyone's really nice, that there's no big deal going on here, that we're going to do the best we can, it's a fast-paced and interesting field, and before you call anyone, you get yourself in a high emotional state of being, and from that point, you make the phone call. And then if you have a success, we'll rally around you and ring bells and shake your hand and pop champagne, and if you have a setback, well, that's just a lesson to learn. It's still a great thing, and it's not failure, and you cannot fail. And as she been involved in that environment, from the first day she stepped in the office, she would think this was her passion.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
And so, does she have to do it by their rules? Does she have
she
to
should
use
never
their approach?
By their rules. Mm-hmm.
She
should only
she can
do it
come
by
up
her
with her. Rules. So she can come up with her own approach. Maybe phone calls aren't her approach. Maybe she takes her client to coffee or tea or.
Absolutely. Exactly right. Some kind of personal interaction, whether it's Skype or phone calls or lunches. You know, when you share a meal with somebody, you bond on an eternal level.
Mm.
You are attached when you share a meal.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
But, you know, I mean, that too. I've been Today I went to a meal. It wasn't with a client. It was with somebody who's been helping my mum for something. And I was doing it because I knew she would like it and the person would like it. And I go into that with resistance, you know. Three days before, I was thinking, oh, God, I've got this lunch. And I knew it would be okay. I knew it. And it was. It was very nice. But there's still this resistance going in.
Yeah, because you're focusing on, I have to do something.
Yes.
I get this, I can't be totally free. I've committed myself to this one thing. So you're focusing on the negative aspect. And instead of focusing on, I get to enjoy a great lunch. I have this. I'm going to eat lunch anyway, so we're going to be with this person. I get to show my appreciation for it. It's just looking at the left of the stick when you, the right side of the stick is where you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's all the resistance that there is.
Yeah.
And that is just an approach to life that you have to practice and practice and practice and practice, because your approach to life up until this point of being has been resistance, resistance, resistance. And now the approach to life is allowing, allowing, allowing. Everything's good. Everything's going to work out. Everything's fine. Everything's happy. Everything's good. I'm going to make the best of everything. I'm going to look for the positive aspects of every single thing that I do. Right? Sounds exhausting, doesn't it?
Yep.
But it's only exhausting because you've been doing it the other way. If you do it this way, you will see that your life will just blow up in a good way. Lights will come on. Kyla, did you enjoy your funeral yesterday? Or the other day before?
I actually really did. It went really well. And I had resistance to going. The day before, I had planned to drive down to my parents and then go down to Oklahoma where the funeral was the following morning. And I didn't leave my apartment for my parents until 10 o'clock at night because I was just putting it off. I just didn't want to go, and I didn't want to feel like I had to pretend to be sad or be around other people who were sad and not know how to stay in joy in that environment. Mm-hmm. And so I just set intentions and decided to, like, enjoy the drive, just listen to music, and just try to have fun with all of it. And so that's kind of what I did, and I got there. And it was great. I was smiling and laughing, and I feel like, I don't know if people were already in joy or if they kind of just raised up to my level, but it felt more like a family reunion than anything, really. I mean, my grandma was sad, but even she wasn't, there just wasn't a lot of negativity. It was a lot of focus on all the things that we loved about my grandpa. And
the interesting thing about a funeral for one who has lived a full and lengthy life is that it is so much easier to look on it on the positive aspects. And conversely, if someone decides to return, because it's always a decision, to non-physical early, there's always sadness because people are looking on that gap between the young age and the old age that they think is appropriate. Right? Mm. So you have in your mind an appropriate age to go. If you make it to 100 or 90, that's an appropriate age. If you make it to 15, that is an inappropriate age. And so you will cast judgment on that young age and call that bad. And you will cast judgment on the old age and call that good. And so it's easier to feel good when you have a judgment of good. And certainly for you, Kyla, your judgment is much more malleable and open. But for the other people there, they are, again, reacting to the conditions that they see. They're at a funeral. Of course, for them, that's sad, but the person did have a longer life, and therefore, it's not as sad.
Yeah.
And so they can focus. It's easier for them to focus on the positive aspects. And then when someone like you comes along, who obviously they can see is not concerned about anything and is able to be joyous, then they can relax too and not have to fall in line with the dogma that says you must be sad at funerals.
So one thing that I wasn't sure about was how much to, like, go into why I wasn't sad. Because I had a few people beforehand, this is part of what, like, contributed to my resistance, who said, oh, you must be in so much pain right now. And I don't know, people that I know really well, when I told them my grandpa died, I said, oh, I have a funeral on Monday. You don't have to be sorry. He wasn't and I'm not, you know, and so they got it. But then these other people that are like, oh, you must be hurting. And I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't know how to respond to that.
You say, actually, I'm focused on the wonderful life that he had and the impact that he had in my life and how lucky he was to live at this time. And he was ready to go. And he went in this way. And we think this way was a good way to go. And so we are looking at the positive aspects were the best parts of his experience.
Yeah, I played with it a little bit, and I guess I kind of got there on some, but on the others I just felt...
Well, here's another thing you can say. You can say, well, he chose his death. I mean, he chose his time.
Yeah.
And so will you, and so will everyone. And there is no death, and everyone's eternal, and we're all pure positive beings of love and acceptance.
I started to go down that road with one, like in one group setting, and just said, because you know somebody had said something along the lines of like, "Oh, you and your family must be hurting right now," and I said, "Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think that you know death is just something that happens, and when we get tired here, then we leave and take a little break, and then when we want to come back, we come back." And it was just like crickets.
Because they want to believe that this is the only life you get, and so you have to make the most of it so that you won't be lazy and sit around and watch TV and waste your life, and so that we have people working instead of laying around and watching TV and doing drugs and having sex and doing all the fun things in life. Because if we all knew we had millions of lives to do as many times as we want, all we would do is have sex and eat. The things you can't do in the non-physical. And nobody wants that to happen. Because they can't control the conditions if that happens. But yes, if you look at it from a perspective that you have to fear death because you'll be judged upon dying, which is absolutely incorrect. There is no judgment in the non-physical. There's no judgment in the non-physical because there's no fear. The only reason you could judge anything is through fear. Without fear, there is no judgment. It's not possible to judge. And obviously, in the non-physical, there's nothing to fear because there is no death. There is no way to be harmed. There is no loss. There is nothing to lose. There are no fears. Fear cannot exist in the non-physical. Therefore, judgment cannot exist in the non-physical. Therefore, you don't care what anyone thinks of the non-physical. It's like worrying what your dog thinks about you, right? The dog has no judgment, just love, so you can be yourself around your dog. Well, the same is true around us, even in the physical or the non-physical, it doesn't matter. So the physical is fun, and it's great to be here. It's like being at Disney World, but eventually you want to go home. You can only take so much Disney World. And then you get this wonderful dimensions of space and time, which allows you to move around and view the world from a different perspective. And time allows you to age and view the world from a different age every day. That's all that space and time are for, is to alter your perspective in every moment, right? And so with those two dimensions of space and time, you get this arc of perspective along a life. And then at the end, you say, I'm done with this one. Let's go back to the non-physical. Let's play around with what we've expanded. We've expanded. We've created new desires. Let's play with those desires. See, in the non-physical, you don't really create desires because the creation of the desire comes from contrast, and the contrast happens in physical because there's no contrast in non-physical. Does that make sense? So you go whenever you go. And if it's 2 years old or 2 weeks old or 2 months old or 20 years old or 100 years old, it doesn't matter because time is not a real thing. Right? It does not matter at all.
So how are you guys playing around with the desires in non-physical?
So we're making phone calls in ecstasy, and we're creating houses on the ocean in California, and we're living in these houses and doing all these fun things that we wanted to do in physical, but we never made a vibrational match, but now all of a sudden we're vibrational matches to whatever we want, and these are the things we wanted when we were in physical, now we get them in non-physical, and we get to experience that and live in it, and it's fun. And then we focus back here, we see what you're doing, and we bring it back there, and we do stuff there.
And you're conscious of all of that until you decide to come back into physical, and then you forget about it all.
You forget about it when you come back into physical. Yeah. The physical part of you doesn't have access to it while consciously awake, because it would ruin the physical experience, right? Yeah. If you were... came back as Kate in another life, knowing everything that Kate went through in this life, you'd still not want to make those phone calls. So you get to start fresh. You get to say, this time I want to be in this kind of family, and I want to do this kind of thing, and I just want to explore this aspect of this thing, which may be the same thing you've done for a few times in a row. You know, maybe it's like more nuanced. And then you bring people with you and you say, this time you're my mother and this time you're my sister and this time you're my lover. And they'll be like, that's weird, but yeah, let's do it. Nobody says that's weird. Yep. So death, no death, you're eternal. This is just like a playground here. You come to the playground, you leave the playground, you come and stay as long as you want. But while you're here, you might as well enjoy it because it's supposed to be fun.
I feel like I've been enjoying a lot lately, but at the same time, for the past, I don't know, week or couple weeks, I have this recurring feeling of just being like I'm in a holding pattern. Like there's something.
Good. Stay in that holding pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. No reason to get out of the holding pattern. The holding pattern is like this jet engine. You know, when you're sitting on the tarmac and the jet's there and it's revving and it's about to take off. That's the holding pattern. And it's building energy, building energy, building energy. And then they release the brakes and down the runway and off into the air.
That I just made a connection with something else that's that's been popping up for me lately. So, okay, orgasms. Like, in my pursuit of orgasms lately, there have been several times where something has happened to sort of stop me before I get to the end, you know, like sort of an edging where it's just, I guess it feels like a holding pattern. So when you were describing what that is, that it's just that same feeling of the energy's building, something big is coming, but I guess maybe I'm just trying to rush to get there.
We could say that an orgasm is like the manifestation of anything physical.
Uh-huh.
You bring the idea from the non-physical, and it comes to the physical, right? And so it takes focus and attention, and you have to move through any fear, and you have to have this desire, and you have to be at ease and allowing, and allow it to come. You can't force it to come. You must allow it to come, and you must focus on what you want. And then it can build and build and build and build. And eventually you either become a vibrational match to it and it comes forth into physical reality, or it doesn't, or you resist it.
Hmm.
That's a little different thing there.
So I guess where my wobble has come into play, because I've been just telling myself that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, in reality, you came here to learn how to manifest things.
Okay.
Or not to learn, but actually to become more powerful manifester.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so some people are really good at manifesting fortunes or toys or experiences or orgasms or whatever it is, mm-hmm. naturally. And some people need to learn how to become a vibrational match to it by focusing their vibration on the manifestation of that thing without fear. Right? And so it is no rush to do it. It will come with focus. And as you learn your focus and focus and focus and focus, when it comes, it'll be a thing of joy and ecstasy.
Where could I be placing my focus that I'm not currently?
Well, we would say that there is fear involved there that and resistance.
Yeah.
And so it's fear about how you're perceived,
right.
what other people think, what even you think of yourself. So as you get more and more and more and more comfortable with control, the idea of control, then it'll become easier for you.
So,
and trust and stuff like that.
So this idea was just proposed to me by this person that I've been interacting with. Is that something that's related to this, like the feeling of having more control? Or?
Well, you want too much control. You're the one with the control. You need to relax the control. Allow others to take control, for instance.
Can you explain that?
Not really.
Mm.
Just think about how much you need to be in control compared to how much you can allow others to be in control. And then if you play with that idea and ease into it without having to make things go a certain way, even though you think you're totally free and open, you're still trying to control the situation.
Huh.
So just play with that a little bit.
Okay. I'm baffled. I'm going to have to listen to that again.
Or you can write a question.
Yeah.
Write a question, and then you get to read it and reread it.
Okay. I will do that.
That's a great technique.
Emma, we are so curious to hear how your family trip was.
It was good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got along fine with my sister.
Uh-huh. You got along with your sister.
Yeah.
And how did you do that?
I just let her be who she was.
Uh-huh. And was that difficult?
Not really, no.
Good. And what was the result of you allowing her to be who she was, you being in acceptance of who she was being, even though who she was being could be seen as wrong?
What was the result?
Yes. Peace or conflict?
Mostly peace.
And when was there conflict?
No, not between her and me.
Excellent. Oh, but between others in the family?
No. A
little bit here and there.
It was just being a bit grumpy and...
Uh-huh. So, when you see someone who's being grumpy and not being part of the group and having fun on a fun family thing and trying, and she's looking at the positive the negative aspects of things, and that's allowing her to sink into a lower emotional state of being, you want her not to be grumpy, because what you really want is yourself to feel good in her presence. And that's the only reason you would care if someone was grumpy. So if you can manage how you feel, then you can have fun either way. You don't need her to be.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Good. And how come conflict did not arise when normally it would?
Because of the way I was focusing.
And did she think you were being weird?
Well, I don't think so.
Good. Excellent. And can you maintain this?
Yes.
Excellent.
I think I need to practice it on my mother now because she was the one who was annoying me on the trip.
Yeah, so you can absolutely do the exact same thing with your mother, and we understand how difficult it might seem, the illusion of difficulty might be there, that you would want them to be different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's someone close to you. And there's more fear there, because you're pretty much stuck with this person.
Yeah.
Right. And they have a role to play. And their role, which from their point of view, is that they are the superior one because they came here first.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you're the superior one. And we're kidding when we say the term superior, but you're the higher vibrational one. So in essence, you're the parent, she's the child.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at her from that perspective, then you can be more loving and accepting of her because she doesn't know any better. And her vibration matched a planet that was many years before you. And now the planet has increased the vibration, and hence you were born at a higher vibration, and you will remain at a higher vibration. And when you have kids one day, they will come in at a higher vibration, and you will be really the child, and they will be the adults. And you, and the irony is you will teach them to be fearful of things and to have limiting beliefs and to watch out as they cross the road and all these things. And they're the ones saying, well, we have our own inner guidance system, so what are you talking about? Why do we need you? Right? But because they come with the higher energy, they'll be, you know, accessing the technology of the day and teaching you how to do things, and just like you are probably with your mother and father. Yep.
Yeah.
So if you can remain focused on what it is that you desire, which is harmony and love, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is what you truly desire, harmony and love. And if you can remain focused on that, then you can resolve conflict by allowing people to do whatever they want to do. And you can use our favorite saying, you're right, I apologize, whenever anything comes up, and you can just move forward. It's a great equalizer and a great diffuser of conflict. And really, why would you be in conflict with anyone anyway, especially with your family? Because you want to be perceived in a certain way. And if they don't perceive you in that way, your persona gets attacked. And your ego rises up to defend your persona. But the persona is not accurate. It's not who you really are. It's this fabrication that you think of yourself. But all you really are is a pure, positive, limitless being of love and acceptance. Right?
Yeah.
So that person never has to defend themselves or never has to be attack the other person or make the other person wrong.
Yeah. I guess a situation during our time away where I felt the need to defend myself was we were out for dinner, and after I finished my meal, my mum said to me, "Emma, it doesn't look like you've eaten anything. It looks like you've just mushed it around on the plate and just made it look like you've eaten it, but you haven't. I'm worried about you that you're not eating." I'm like, oh my God, I ate my food, okay? Just because I've lost weight doesn't mean I have an eating disorder.
So imagine that you had no fear and that you were living as who you really are, which is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. How would you have reacted to your mother differently? Without fear, you would have said something like this: "It is so wonderful." And also, we are saying it, but there is no sarcasm in our voice, even though it sounds sarcastic to be saying this, because if you actually said this, it would be perceived as sarcastic. But we would say, "We are so touched and feel so good that you are concerned about us and our body."
Oh, okay.
"But we assure you that we are doing well and that everything is going great."
Yeah. But I didn't want to say you're wrong. I apologize. But that sounds like a good
idea. Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah. You're right, Mother. I apologize for mushing around my food. I will start packing on more calories as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But when a mother feels fear, and really the fear is that the daughter's life is not perfect in every single way. So that means that the fear is just going to be coming up all the time. Right. And then from that fear, they attempt to change the conditions by saying something that doesn't coincide with what they truly want or what their inner self wants or who they really are. They say things that are just designed to get them to feel a little bit better. Like, "I can't let my daughter waste away to nothing. I have to say something so that I can feel better. I don't really care about my daughter. I care about how I feel." That is, in essence, what they are saying. Okay, the only reason that they really care is so that they can feel good. So, and the only reason they say anything is because they feel fear. So they're trying to alleviate their own fear by going outside and changing you. But they're never going to change you. They're just going to bang their head up against the wall. But they don't know what we know, do they? So we can see it from their perspective that they feel fear. And so this fear now causes them to say something completely inappropriate and against everything that they truly desire, because they truly desire love, affection, and harmony, right? So this goes in absolute contrast to what they truly desire. This thing that they pulled from the depth of a low emotional state of being and flung it on you during a nice dinner. Now, you have a choice to make. You can say, "She's wrong for saying that to me, and I'm going to defend myself and make sure she knows she's wrong. And I might even embarrass her in front of everyone." Or you can say, "I understand that this comment is coming from a state of fear, and this isn't what she really wants. So I am going to deflect it by pushing back, or not pushing back, by expressing love. And I will diffuse the situation by expressing love." And she may say, "This, it may not work right away." She may come back with another comment, and I am going to not be susceptible to the fear that arises within me, but I'm going to understand that she's coming from a place of fear, and I'm going to express love, and express love, and express love, and then I'm going to leave the room.
I love the idea of being that person, coming at it from a place of love.
Yes, but you have to realize that while this happens, you're going to feel a fear, and that fear is going to drop you into a low emotional state of being, and you're going to have this strong urge to say something, or get mad, or give her a look, or roll your eyes, whatever it is, right? And if you can realize what's happening in the moment, you can take a breath and say, "I am truly pleased by your concern. And I understand that from your perspective, it looks like I'm not eating. But I am actually focused on creating a lean and healthy body. And I am only eating what feels appropriate to eat until I get full." Something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And It is a treat to come out and eat dinner in a nice place like this with my family, and I just don't want to eat too much.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But
I guess I kind of said something similar, but it
sounds
out
just like you
in an angry way.
Yes. But you did feel the fear, and you did feel this urge to defend yourself, and then you didn't act out of that urge. Instead, you were able to say, I did eat. Which was an argument, but still, it wasn't like, stop talking to me. Leave me alone. I hate when you do this. You're always doing this every time. When will you stop? I'm an adult.
Yeah, I didn't go that far.
I had something similar, Emma, with my dad. We went out to lunch last weekend with friends that we literally haven't seen like in 30 years. And he started throwing out little zingers towards me. And normally I would have gotten, you know, clammed up and got pissed off and there he goes again kind of thing. And I just got this overwhelming sense of like, oh my God, he's playing his role so well that I embraced it. It's like, he's really good at this concerned father thing, you know? And I was able to like laugh it off and let it go.
That's awesome.
Well done.
Parents are big zingers.
Excellent. Yeah. Does anyone else want to talk about anything?
That's true. I do.
Go.
So I've been trying to book my flights for the cruise for about the last month. And every time I do it, or every time I try, I get this error message on the website. And I've been trying to book. At first, I thought it was like an abundance thing, because I was trying to book business class tickets, but then I tried three different types of like economy, economy plus, and it was the same error message. I tried four different dates, two different airports. I checked their website on Facebook or their Facebook page to see if anyone else had complained, and no one else had complained. I just can't figure out, is it my resistance? And what is the resistance? Or is there something better waiting for me? Is that why I can't book the tickets?
Well, we will say that there is certainly a little resistance there. But we will also say that we want you to try an experiment. Just like with Kate, before you go online, we want you to get into a super ecstatic emotional state of being, as high as a Norwegian can get. And then intend for everything to go well, for everything to work easily, for you to be guided to the right site, for you to make the plans and let the thing go and just be easy and easy and easy, and then see what happens.
But it's weird because I felt really good for at least a week or 10 days, and I tried it then. It didn't happen. So
Did you set your intentions prior to doing it?
No. I never do that with anything.
Because here's what we see for a lot of people is that you're feeling good, you're feeling good, you're feeling good, and then you go to do this big thing. And the big thing is the thing, the fear around that big thing that, you know, am I getting on the right flight? Is it going to be too expensive? Is it going to arrive at the right dates? Am I going to the right airport? Blah, 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 blah. The stuff that always comes up with travel. And that, you may have been feeling great for 10 days, and then the second you get on the computer and you press a button on your keyboard, that's where the fear comes in, and that's where the resistance comes in, and the doubt, and all the stuff that goes with it. And it just sinks you down to a lower emotional state of being, a little bit lower vibration, and that's where the wobble comes in, and shit happens. Now, you can say things like, okay, it wasn't meant to be on this day, something better is coming up, and that is really helpful. It keeps you in a much more positive emotional state of being. Or, I don't care how long this takes, or let me try over here, or let me think of an idea, what's the idea that's coming to me, and then go with that idea, or phone a friend, or phone a travel agent, or phone Deborah Jo and have her do it for you. Anything can happen. So think of that from that positive emotional point of view. Think of the ideas that are swirling around your head and try them out. Don't think that you have to know everything, that you have to have it all figured out. Don't think that you should be able to see it all the way through. Just go one step at a time. I'm going to go on tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to meditate first, and then I'm going to psych myself up, and I'm going to intend that everything goes well and it's easy, and then I'm going to go to step one. And step one is going to whatever website and looking at the flights and picking a flight and booking the flight. And if that doesn't work, then I'm going to go to step two. And that's take a break or think a thought or phone a friend or whatever. Just take it one step at a time. So this step is I'm going to plan some time for tomorrow. I'm going to meditate first. I'm going to psych myself up and get into a great emotional state of being. And then I'm going to take the action. Whatever that is.
But I want to know what the fear is, because for the first, like the first few days when I tried to book these flights, I expected everything to go smoothly. It always goes smoothly when I'm booking, tickets. So that's not an issue.
Flights weren't the right flights that you were booking then.
But that was the same flights that I'm trying to book now. So I want to know the original fear.
Right. Now, you've had the experience of that not working out, and so that's what the fear is.
Yeah.
So the first time, it wasn't meant to be, that wasn't the right flight, whatever it was, something about that was wrong, or was not the path of least resistance, and you judged that not working out to be a bad thing. So you say, I hope that doesn't happen again when I go back in the computer and start to try a new thing. I hope that thing I judged as wrong and bad before doesn't happen again. I have this fear, and it's even unconscious, little tiny fear, that might happen again, that I might not get to go on the cruise, that something's going to screw up, that I'm not going to do it in time. And this goes boom, 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 and spirals upwards or spirals downwards. And then you've got these little fears, and these little fears keep popping up and causing a wobble. But we say if you pre-pave your way tomorrow, just as an experiment, we're not saying it's going to work. We're just saying try it as an experiment and see what happens and then report back to us and let us know if you were successful or not. And then we'll take it to the next step.
But I want to know the original problem.
Well, the original problem was not a problem.
So why didn't it work out?
Because it wasn't meant to work out. And you don't know why.
But the thing
Something about that flight, those dates, that price, that timing was off.
But it's the same thing that I'm trying to book now.
Well, maybe you're not supposed to book that same exact thing now. Maybe you're supposed to go to Iceland first. Or go to Paris and pick up Kate and go with her. Or have her do it for you. Right? If you keep trying to push a square peg in a round hole, you're going to have to start whittling away at that peg. And that's going to be tough. Instead of making it easy. So if it didn't work the first time, try something new.
Mm-hmm. I did try something new. I checked out 4 airlines.
Okay.
And I checked out the private jet.
Okay. And maybe and what was wrong with the private jet?
It was $150,000 for 2 flights. So that was a bit too much for me.
Is that expensive? We don't know.
That's expensive for me right now. I'm not there yet.
Good. Well, that got you to check out the private jet, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And where did that get me?
It gets you to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, how fun that would be. All you need is a couple $1 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you hook me up?
Mm-hmm. We're doing our best we can. Believe us.
We'll try harder.
Everything we can.
Try harder.
We're teaching you about the laws of the universe. Most people don't know that. You have this advantage. Yes. But when you relax around it, when you bring in other people, when you realize there's fear, even if you're going to say there's no fear there, there is something you want it to work out. It's not working out. There's a reason for it not to work out. You're resisting what's not working out. Just play with it a while. It'll work out. You are meant to be on the cruise. Everything is supposed to is happening for a reason. It's all going to be fine.
So if I can't get my tickets, can you guys teleport me from over to Fort Lauderdale?
We will hook you up with Skype and a iPad, and you can join us virtually.
I don't want effing Skype.
There you go.
Get me a private jet.
You're going to have the physical experience of it. We have to go via non-physical. You get to have the physical experience. Kate, you found an easy trip to Florida from Paris, right?
To New York, then back from Florida to Paris. Yeah, easy and cheap.
And maybe Astrid is supposed to join you somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, New York, I think we're flying on different dates, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, whatever.
But
we're
that's
saying
whatever,
that there's,
yeah.
There's abundance of possibilities here. Yeah. Don't try and put the square peg in the round hole. Just play with it. Take your time and say, I'm just going to play and I'm going to have an adventure and see what happens. And then try a different date, try a different airline, try a different airport, try a different website, try phoning a friend. We think a friend could help.
And do you know? Yes.
I had something similar. I couldn't book my flight, not because I couldn't do it on the computer. I just had all this fear and what if I get there too late, I get there too early, or if I pay too much, blah, blah, blah. I tried, I'm not exaggerating, 6 different times to do this. And then finally, I prepaved the night before that tomorrow was going to be the day I was going to make the best flight. I can't be taken advantage of. Everything's going to work out perfectly. And a totally new flight on a totally different airline popped up. And that's the one I took.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, good, because I want a different flight route too. So
excellent. Yeah.
I've been waiting for that. So, which friend should I call?
Whichever one you're inspired to call.
Okay.
So intend, get in a good emotional state of being, have fun, enjoy it, prepave, meditate, and then just follow inspiration. And if you can do this with this flight, you can do that with anything. And that is exactly how you are meant to navigate reality. You are meant to get yourself in a positive emotional state of being and receive inspiration to act, and not act until you received inspiration. And so when you try to do things when you're not in the proper emotional state of being, do it without the help of the non-physical. And you do it from a place that is going to bring to you less satisfactory results. So that is the theme of this entire conversation today. Engage universal energies by maintaining a ecstatic, fun, happy, easy, high emotional state of being. Just like we are now, bringing in joy, bringing in the energy of the universe to receive thoughts and ideas, because your heads are not thought factories, they are thought receivers and transmitters, and let non-physical help you. That's what we're here for. That is our desire. And if
invite
you can
the
do
million.
That,
invite your millions.
Invite your millions. Well, we, again, can't imagine anything more fun and satisfying than this conversation with you amazing leading-edge creators who are sifting and sorting and using what you've learned to create the reality you prefer while simultaneously encouraging millions of other people to do the same thing. You can't even imagine the impact that you all are having on the collective consciousness of this planet. It is truly powerful and astounding, and we are just thrilled to be a part of it. So until next time we see you, we wish you high emotional states of being and ask you to focus on feeling joy. Mm-hmm. We are
Thank
complete.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.